Medieval History, 7th grade, Thursday, April 30th, History Unit, 10th through 12th Century Church Reform and Controversy. Lesson 3, The Conflict Over Lay Investiture. Lesson 3, Socratic Question. Keep this question in mind as you study this lesson. Who has the ultimate authority in the High Middle Ages, a king or a pope? Objective, be able to do this by the end of this lesson, and be sure to make annotations. Number 1. Describe the showdown between Pope Gregory VII and Emperor Henry IV. Number 2. Give reasons why both Pope Henry VII and Emperor Henry IV thought they were right. Introduction to Lesson 3, The Problem. Investiture is the ceremony of clothing a person in the insignia or clothes of the office. Investire means to clothe, from the Latin. Just as when someone becomes king or queen, he or she is crowned, so when someone becomes a bishop, he is clothed or invested with the garments of a bishop. Remember when Pope Agapetus deposed the bishop of Constantinople and Emperor Justinian was outraged? And after that, Theodora used her wiles to get Vigilius elected as pope. Ever since Christianity was legalized at the Edict of Milan in 313, there were disputes as to who has the authority to appoint bishops, the church or the state. While the church, i.e., the pope or other bishops, always claimed to have the ultimate say, the church often allowed secular leaders to influence their decisions. Sometimes this practically meant that the secular authorities, such as kings, dukes, and emperors, were the ones appointing the bishops, which was known as lay investiture. What is investiture? The roots of the investiture controversy arose from the fact that many bishops, especially those in the Holy Roman Empire, present-day Germany, under King Emperor Henry IV, had gained an immense amount of temporal power, land, money, etc., and became part of the ruling nobility, acting in many ways as feudal lords, dukes, counts, barons, etc. While you can imagine bishops doing a lot of good with this kind of power, like giving money and land for churches, giving alms to the poor, etc., you can also imagine it becoming problematic. For example, if a bishop happened to be a duke, a baron gives allegiance to a count, gives allegiance to a duke, gives allegiance to a king, a deacon gives allegiance to a priest, gives allegiance to a bishop, gives allegiance to a pope. What problems might arise? One problem that could arise is this. Who is this bishop slash duke ultimately loyal to, the king or the pope? What if the king and the pope have a disagreement? Specifically, the biggest question was, who would appoint bishops, the king or the pope? In theory, bishops were supposed to be chosen by the other bishops of the church. But remember, the money and land that went along with some of these positions at this time, the control of these great units of economic and military power was for the king a question of primary importance, affecting as it did the foundations and even the existence of the imperial authority. To allow someone other than the emperor to have the final say in choosing these duke bishops could undercut the political stability of society. Another difficulty arose from the fact that usually the feudal titles of duke, count, etc. were hereditary or passed on from father to son. But in theory, bishops, priests, and deacons were supposed to be celibate, unmarried in the literal sense of the word, but quote-unquote married to the church, like Jesus, and so wouldn't have an heir to pass on their feudal title to. Without going into too many details here, two related problems arose from this difficulty. One, some bishops and priests were not held to the standard of celibacy, but were allowed to marry, which was contrary to the long-standing tradition of the church. Some bishops were lax in their discipline and became more and more worldly, not living up to their calling. Many people saw this as the secularization of the church. Another problem that arose was that of simony, the selling of church offices, such as the position of priest or bishop, became widespread. This was particularly true where families had established a church or abbey on their estate, which was part of their property. Since a substantial amount of wealth and land was usually associated with the office of a bishop or abbot, simony had become an important source of income for leaders among the nobility, who themselves owned the land and by charity allowed the building of churches. The investiture controversy. In response to the problems of simony and overly worldly bishops, and in order to ensure the church's right to appoint bishops, came Pope Gregory VII. Born Hildebrand of Sovana, he was the son of a blacksmith, and as a young man began working for important officials within the Catholic Church. Having experienced corruption within the church hierarchy, as well as the attempts of secular leaders to control the papacy, Gregory was zealous to reform. Meanwhile, the Holy Roman Emperor, king in Germany and the surrounding areas, at the time was the young Henry IV. He was only 5 years old when his father, Henry III, died in the year 1056 AD. Nearly all of his reign to this point was spent trying to maintain his power against the nobility of the empire. Ruling for him in his stead when he was a young man were regents. As he grew older, he was eager to continue the practice where emperors chose who would be the bishops in various German cities. In 1075 AD, Pope Gregory demanded this practice to stop. And after Henry continued to appoint bishops in Germany and Italy, Gregory threatened that if he did not stop, he would be, quote-unquote, excommunicated until he had given proper satisfaction, but also deprived of his kingdom without hope of recovering it. We must bear carefully in mind that in the given circumstances there was a certain justification for both parties. The Pope's object was to save the Church from the dangers that arose from the undue influence of the laity, and especially of the king, in strictly ecclesiastical affairs. The king, on the other hand, believed that he was fighting for the necessary means of civil government, apart from which his supreme authority was at that period unthinkable. What is excommunication? In these footnotes at the bottom of page 14, simony. Simony is named after Simon Magus, who is described in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verses 9 through 24, as having offered two disciples of Jesus payment in exchange for their empowering him to impart the power of the Holy Spirit to anyone on whom he would place his hands. And the term excommunication, coming from the Latin, out of communion. Someone who has been excommunicated is not allowed to receive the Eucharist or communion, and is thus outside of the body of the Church. Page 15. Henry IV responded by calling the Synod of Worms, where the majority of German bishops and two archbishops declared that they would no longer be bound to the Pope and no longer obey him. In addition, Henry wrote a letter to Pope Gregory VII. Quote, Henry, king not through usurpation, but through the holy ordination of God, to Hildebrand, at present not pope, but false monk. Such greeting as this hast thou merited through thy disturbances, inasmuch as there is no grade in the church which thou hast omitted to make a partaker not of honor, but of confusion, not of benediction, but of malediction. Henry goes on to make the case that royal power is conferred on the secular leaders by God through divine appointment. He also says Gregory is acting as if he was God himself, and he had given the kingdoms to the nobility of Europe. Henry goes on to level charges against Gregory, saying he is a false pope and is not worthy of being the pope. The emperor sums up his letter in this way, quote, Thou, therefore, damned by this curse and by the judgment of all our bishops and by our own, descend and relinquish the apostolic chair which thou hast usurped. Let another ascend the throne of St. Peter, who shall not practice violence under the cloak of religion, but shall teach the sound doctrine of St. Peter. I, Henry, King by the grace of God, do say unto thee, together with all our bishops, descend, descend to be damned throughout the ages. Summarize King Henry IV's letter to Pope Gregory VII. If the king believed that such a deposition, which he was unable to enforce, was of any effect, he must have been very blind. For on February 22, 1076 A.D., Pope Gregory VII responded by making the following pronouncement at Rome. And I quote, "In the name of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and by your power and authority, I deny to King Henry, son of the Emperor Henry, who, with unheard-of pride, has risen up against your church, the government of the whole kingdom of the Germans and of Italy, I release all Christians from the bond of any oath that they have made or shall make to him, and I forbid anyone to serve him as king. For it is fitting that, because he has striven to diminish the honor of your church, he himself should forfeit the honor that he seems to possess. Finally, because he has disdained to show the obedience of a true Christian, and has not returned to the God whom he forsook by communing with excommunicated men, by, as you are my witness, disdaining my advice which I sent him for his salvation, and by attempting to rend your church and separating himself from it, by your authority I bind him with excommunication." The footnote: this is the utmost insult to Gregory to not be referred to by his papal name, but instead the name he gave up when he became pope, which was Monk Hildebrand. Summarize Pope Gregory's response to King Henry IV. This concludes the material for Thursday, Thursday, April 30th.